The 139th Psalm, David had been through great experiences. Some of us have been through great experiences. We're going to review a few of those things this morning, but let's read this some of this psalm together. I'm going to skip. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Maybe I shouldn't read the next verse yet. Laid Thine hand upon me. You know, beloved, you and I have been searched this week together. We've been searched by the Word of God. We've been searched by the ministry that the Lord has provided for us. And what is His purpose in searching you and me? Sometimes we don't like to get searched because we get found out. And that hurts. O Lord, Thou hast searched me. That's the way it starts out. Have you and I been searched? You know, the prophet Jeremiah gave a very startling verse. And it's my privilege to go to the woman's prison. And here are these poor girls, many of them young girls, the teens, some of them older. And my heart goes out to them. I call them ladies because they are treated like a number and they are treated with disdain and contempt by the staff at the prison. And one day I found out that I could have lunch with them. You know, that was great. The lunch was good. 7-course meal every time I'd go through the chow line, and I don't have a wife to cook for me anymore. So, you know, it was pretty good. And I get acquainted with them at the lunch table a little bit. That was wonderful because they would kind of tell some of the troubles they got, you know. When you're in talking to them in the Bible study, you can't talk individually. But at the lunch counter, sometimes you can hear things that, you know, they you couldn't hear it in public. But one of the things that I wanted to bring before them every time that I would visit was the Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. It says there, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Who can know it? I don't know my own heart. I might look like, and I'm telling you young people the same thing I'm telling them at the prison. You know, I might look like a nice old grandpa up here. You say, oh, that Brother Bob, he's a nice guy. But you know, I've got a heart that's just as bad as the worst woman in this prison. That's what I tell him. And another thing I tell them, most of you ladies here have been betrayed by a man. And you know, they start nodding the head. I said, I want to tell you about the man that will never betray you because he loves you so much that he did this. On the cross, he went to the cross and there he gave his life because he loved sinners like you and me. And I want to tell you about that man. He's now in the glory. And in his hands and his feet and his side, he bears the marks of this world's hatred because they crucified him and said away with him, we will not have this man, but I want to present this man to you that you can have him. And the verse comes to mind in the first chapter of John's Gospel. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right or the power to be called the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Have you believed on that precious name? I know you're familiar about it, but you know, have you received Him? You know, we've been talking all week about the gospel. One question comes up. Have you received Him? Have you received Christ? You know, it's not some great big Magna Carta that you have to sign or read about or hear a whole bunch of words. It's just a simple transaction. It gets back to this verse. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me. The Lord knows all about you. Knows all about me. Another word that I want to say before I forget it is that I tell those women at the prison something else and say, you know something? My heart is just like your heart. And I'm going to give you the verse for it. Solomon said, as face answers to face in water, like the reflection, so is the heart of man to man. And my heart, if you knew how bad my heart was, I wouldn't want to be standing here in front of you. If all of my heart was written on the side of the wall in this building, I'd want to flee. Because I got some idea how bad it is. But you know, that's not the end of the story. I got a Savior that loves me in spite of the heart, how bad it was. And He did this on the cross. He says, Bob, this is what I did for you on the cross. All our sins, so great, so many in His blood are washed away. Is that the confidence and peace that you have this morning? I trust and I hope it is. But what does the Lord do? There's two ways to look at this verse. You know, O Lord, Thou hast searched me. He searches the sinner and speaks to the conscience. And the conscience says, I'm bad. I'm bad before God. I'm desperate, desperately wicked. That's the kind of a heart I have. And the Lord says, look, I want to give you a new heart. So you know what He says in the big appeal? He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you something. Rest. Rest. Where do you need rest? The conscience. The conscience. And then the peace. But look at this in our psalm. The psalmist says, Thou hast known my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. The Lord knows every thought that you have. You might fool me. You might fool other people. There's an old saying, you can fool half the people half the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. I want to tell you something, what it says here. You can't fool God. This first seven verses of this chapter, this first six verses is about the omniscience of God. Omniscience. He knows everything. He made the worlds and He made you and me. But He knows your heart and He knows my heart. And He loves us. It says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be what? Saved through Him. Are you saved yet? Well, I'm going to talk to both sides, you see. We got some, most here are saved, but there might be some hiding in the group, you know. They know what they are. They're not saved. Maybe they're not sure. But the Lord wants you to be sure that you're saved. He wants you to be in the enjoyment. So He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest of soul, rest of heart, rest of conscience. And then He says, take my yoke. Isn't that wonderful? Some of us haven't taken much of the yoke yet. I remember when I was a boy, I didn't know too much about taking the yoke. It was a little bit at a time. You know, that's the way the Lord does. He gives us a little at a time, just like when you're babies. You know, mom gives you when you're hungry, she feeds you. And then we grow like little babies in the family of God. And we start to learn about walking with the Lord Jesus through this world. There's a little song comes to mind. I'm going to sing it for you. Sometimes, you know, the music gets through. My Redeemer will walk with me all the way o'er life's troubles see. Sin and doubting I need not flee, for Jesus will walk with me. Could you sing that song this morning? That's what He wants you to do. That's the second part of that verse in the 11th of Matthew. Take my yoke. Then what? Learn of me. That's what we're here for. You know why He wants you to learn of Him? Because it's going to be a display in the glory very shortly that He's going to show you and me all the way that He kept us and walked with us through this world. And so this 139th Psalm says, look what it says. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. The angel of the Lord campeth about them that fear Him and delivereth them. And I'm going to tell you a story about the tidal wave. We haven't got that far yet, but it was something about this third verse. Thou compassest my path. You mean even when I'm out in the boat, the Lord is going to take care of me? You know, I don't think I ever told this story before. Some of my friends have said, oh, Bob, you know, you told us a lot of stories. And even my wife used to say, you told them that story before. That's all right. Some they didn't hear this story. But it has a bearing here. In the 107th Psalm, just to make this a little more effective, we need to read a verse in the 107th Psalm about this story that I'm going to tell you. It's about people going down to the sea in ships. Where is it? They that go down, verse 23, Psalm 107. I got to watch the clock. 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. Have you ever been on a boat that's doing business in big waters? Maybe you were in a boat and behind the boat they had a rope, right? And you got on the water skis and you were doing business on the water skis, right? You know, you do business in great waters, all right? I was doing some business in great waters. My neighbor, I used to have a 14-foot rowboat, and I bought an outboard motor for it. And when I was a kid, you know, I was about 15, and my brother Ken and I were good buddies for fishing. My other brothers, they didn't care so much about fishing, but Ken was my buddy for fishing. And we used to go out in the boat, and I named it, because we always had the outboard motor apart on the back seat, I named it Nuts and Bolts. You say, what a name for a boat. Why didn't you get a better name than that? Nuts and Bolts, a boat? Anyway, there was a guy at the yacht club that had a big boat, and he would go out into the big ocean, because my dad restricted me and my brother to the bay. This is back in Long Island, New York, where I came originally from. We would go out fishing in the boat, and we would troll for fish. And one morning we went out and we got 55 bluefish. And all the guys at the yacht club, they said, wow, where did you get the fish? Oh, out there, you know. You know, you try to be very modest about such a catch, filling a boatload of fish. We had more fish than we knew what to do with. It was Thursday morning, too. So, you know, for all the Catholics, Friday, that's when they ate fish in those days. So we sold all the fish. And we had enough money to pay for the gas for the outboard for a long time. Anyway, one of the men at the yacht club, he kept noticing. He called me Bobby. He says, hey, Bobby, would you like to go out blue fishing with me in the ocean? And I thought, wow, I can't go out there in my boat, but here's a man with a boat that was 24 feet long with a motor in it. It was a converted lifeboat. And this guy's name was George Ackerson. I still remember his name. You know, after all these years, wonderful. Once in a while, you get a little flashback. So the day that I got on the boat with George Ackerson and another fellow that he worked with, he was a producer with Warner Brothers movies, and that's another story. But anyway, he was talking business with this fellow in the boat. In the boat, he had a four-cylinder Red Wing engine. I still remember the engine. It's a Red Wing engine, four-cylinder, but pushed that boat along, chug, 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 out, and out in the ocean we went. And all of a sudden, as we were coming out about four or five miles out into the Atlantic Ocean, I saw a sight that I'll never forget in my whole life. It's strange that I forgot it, though, to tell anybody. But I want to tell you about it because it applies. In this verse, what does it say? Psalm 107, verse 23, there they go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them into the desired heaven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. All of a sudden I looked out in front of that boat about a quarter of a mile away. There was a wave that I'd never seen before or since in my whole life. It was towering up, a wall of water, 30 or 40 feet high, from one horizon to the other. And I'm sitting in the back of the boat, and George and this man, they're talking in the front of the boat. And I see that thing coming fast, like tumbling. Just one big wall of water tumbling. And three words that George said, "This is it. This is it." And the two of them are looking transfixed. And I'm thinking, what does he mean, this is it? I had peace in my heart. No fear. No fear. I was 17 years old. No fear. I wonder how many of you here this morning are 17 years old. You have some fears? The Lord says, "My peace I give unto you." 14th chapter of John. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Why would he want me there? Because he loves me. He loves me and he loves you. And that's where the peace comes. And then he says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." I experienced it. And you know, the dear brother was mentioning in two of the meetings, you know, he got deliverance. Our brother was telling us about the car spinning out on the freeway on his way over here. And he didn't give thanks. You know, he didn't give thanks, but you know something was in his heart. Peace. You know, looks back on the peace, and what does he find? "Then they are glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them into the desired haven." You know, I'm sure that the brother was glad in his heart when that car stopped and they weren't killed. You know, I got to tell you what happened. That wave kept coming. It got about 200 yards away, and all of a sudden it disappeared. Flat. 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 And I didn't feel any different. I just thought, well, I'm in this boat, and because I'm in this boat, the Lord made the wave go away. I had that thought when I was 17 years old. What would give you or me such a thought in our heart that we would have peace? Peace with God is real. And you know, the wonderful thing is, what is my response to the goodness of God? I could have been taken home to be with the Lord in that occasion. I could have. And I knew it in my heart. But I had peace. I had peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that peace today? You know, the Lord is going to rebuke you sometimes that you don't trust Him more. That's what this psalm is about. In the first part of the psalm, he's telling about the Lord searching him. Get back to the 139th psalm. But verse 6, you know, I didn't read verse 6 yet. I want to read verse 6 because it's so special. You know, we save the best. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it." Why did the Lord make the wave go away? I've often pondered that. But he did. "And such knowledge is wonderful for me, this world, not only to grow up from 17 years old, but now to be 75 years old. And I look back, you know, I look back with wonder and praise. And I trust there's some response in my heart that I brought back to give to the Lord. You know what it's called? It's called the response of worship and praise to His name. Praise the Savior, we sing. Ye who know Him, who can tell how much we owe Him? Gladly let us render to Him all that we have and are. Everything David says, all that I have from God, I've received. He's the one that is the giver. Now we get another verse, verse 7. See, I didn't tell you what happened after I was 17. I got to be 18. Yeah, then something else happened. Some different things. I forgot about the wave. I should have thought about the wave and the deliverance. God brought me a deliverance that day. But you know, the Apostle Paul says we had the sentence of death. Let's turn to it. 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 2. Romans, Corinthians. Come on, a little further, Bob. You might find it. Here it is. Chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, verse 9, he says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from what?" From what? So great a death. What was the great death? So great a death. The lake of fire, that's what it was delivered from. Have you been delivered from the lake of fire? Apostle Paul was rejoicing. He said, "Who delivered us from so great a death?" Now, I'm sure there's other things he was delivered from. I could say I was delivered from a great death by that tidal wave. You know what the word tidal means? And it's way back in the book of Genesis with Abraham, tidal. You know, they got another name for those waves now. They call them tsunamis. How do you say it? Tsunami, see? That's a Japanese word. They got so many tidal of these kind of waves over there, they give it a different name because they all come from Japan. But anyway, this one was right from the Atlantic Ocean. Who delivered us from so great a death? Now look, something else. There's a comma there. Yeah. A comma. And it says, "and doth deliver." That's the present, beloved. Are you praising and thanking Him for the present deliverance? Then what? "In whom we trust that He will yet deliver us." When's that? All the way home to the glory. You know, beloved, we have an all the way home Savior, and He wants you and me to be in the enjoyment of it. He wants us to have that joy flowing from that new nature, that new life that we have in Christ. He wants you and me to be in the enjoyment of it. "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust He will yet deliver." I'm going to skip down at the end of this chapter while I got it open. In the 23rd verse, the Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet into Corinth." He told him some pretty strong things. In the first epistle of Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, he told him some pretty strong language about judging evil. You know, we don't like to judge evil. We don't like to call black, black. And we don't like to call it sometimes white, white. We like to have the gray area for our conscience. And what does the apostle say? "Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." This is the verse I want to make an emphasis right here, this portion. We don't have dominion over your faith. Who has dominion over your faith? The Lord that gave it to you. And He wants to enlarge your faith. He wants to increase your faith. And you know, the man that cried out, he said, "Lord, help my faith. I don't have much." You know what the Lord says? If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, not the mustard seed itself. Listen, every time that you smear some mustard on the hot dog, you think about the grain of mustard seed, will you? And God gives you faith like a grain of mustard seed to believe Him. You know what He says about that faith? He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, "Be removed." And it would be removed. You and I have mountains in our life of trouble. Sometimes they linger for years. You say, "Lord, take away the mountain." He says, "Not yet. I want you to learn something. You know, one thing that God says, and I want to say this, it's in the 101st Psalm. I'm going to read it. This is one of the problems we have sometimes. And we get into trouble about it, you know. I want to tell you what he says in the 101st Psalm. I think I could find the verse. Because it sticks out in my mind right on the side of the page here. Where is it? Verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. The Lord wants you and me to not only walk with Him, but He wants to give us the privilege of serving with Him. But some stuff has to be taken away that we still got. You know what I mean? We're talking about the deceitful heart. Still got it. Lord, help me. Let's read the next verse. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Does that cut close this morning? You know, we get away with nothing. We get away with nothing. Oh, Lord, Thou hast searched me. That's grace. Why would the Lord want to search you, you bum? That's me, the bum. Why would the Lord want to search me? You know, because I'm not a bum anymore. I'm one of the princes. I'm one of the kings. I'm one of the priests of God. And you know, He looks on you and He says, I love you. That's what the Lord Jesus wants you and me to know more than anything else, that He loves us. But He's going to be faithful. And He's going to tell us the truth. If you and I are going to be telling lies and using deceit, what's going to happen? He says, you're not going to dwell in my house. That's the bottom line. You know, the apostle could say, the psalmist could say in the 23rd Psalm something that's very nice. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Maybe you would just whisper to you, say, the Lord's my shepherd. Is He your shepherd this morning? He's my shepherd. When I was in that boat, the Lord was my shepherd. When I was on the motorcycle and the motorcycle smacked up, the Lord was my shepherd. When the car was coming the other direction at 70 miles an hour and I was going in this direction, 70 miles an hour. This is another story, see, about the deliverance. Who hath delivered us? Who doth deliver us? The brother was telling us about being in the car. I'm going to tell you about a car, you know. I was with the family. I had a 57 Ford station wagon that had the nice fast engine in it. I forget what was the number on the engine, but that car would roll 70 miles an hour just like nothing. Even nowadays, it'll make them so good, that Ford station wagon. We were going from San Jose down to Pacific Grove along the California coast, and the road was built on the sand dunes. It goes up and down, you know, and the kids say, make it go fast, Dad. It's like a roller coaster, you know. We were going fast enough. And we had just had supper, and I was coming down the freeway. It's a freeway. It's four lanes. And there's a big median in between. You can't even see. They got bushes between the other side of the median. And we're coming 70 miles an hour over the hill, and I come over the top of a hill, and a policeman had pulled a man over who was giving him a ticket. But there was no traffic. No traffic. And we come over the hill. So to give him a wide berth, I swung to the left lane. You know, the two lanes going the same direction, going south. And as I went down the hill, in a split second, a car coming head on in the wrong way on that lane that I was in, as I swung the wheel. A split second, there wasn't even time to say one, if I was going to count. Who hath delivered us? Who doth deliver us? Who made me turn the wheel? Who made me turn the wheel? You know, who made me turn the wheel was the Lord. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Did I get searched? We get searched. O Lord, Thou hast searched me. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Thou hast laid Thine hand upon me. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid down hand upon me. God laid it on my mind and my heart just to turn the wheel. Whose hand was on me? It was the Lord's hand. Do you have the confidence of faith today? You know, you look back and you say, Lord, you've been so good to me. You preserved me. You've saved my life. And you know, in the woman's prison, I tell them, there's not a woman in this place that hasn't been close to death. Am I right? And they're all nodding their head. I think I could almost say that here this morning and you'd be all nodding your head. Yeah, we had some close calls. We call them close calls. But the Lord brings close calls that He might search you and me to see how real we are in bringing Him into the circumstances. I like to use that expression, bring the Lord into your circumstances and He'll give you joy. He wants you to have joy. The Apostle John says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that your joy may be half full. The brother's shaking his head. What's the matter? Oh, full. Not half full. The Lord wants your joy and mine to be full. Can it happen? You know, the psalmist, he could say, my cup runneth over. That's in that same psalm, you know, the shepherd's psalm. Psalm 23. My cup runneth over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then what? I shall dwell in the house. I shall dwell in the house. What house? The house of the Lord forever. You know, you and I are in the Lord's house today. It's called the household of faith. And it's a wonderful place to be in. It's a place of privilege and blessing and where we can worship the Lord. But you know, He wants to search your heart and mine with His Word. And so in that 107th Psalm, he did some searching there. They that go down in the ships, he sends the waves and the ship rocks pretty bad, you know. And the men, they reel to and fro and they're like they're in the wit's end. This is it. This is it. That's what the man said. There's two brothers, the Kilcup brothers, years ago. Chick Kilcup told me the story. They were fishermen off the coast Nova Scotia. They were out one stormy day and the waves kept coming up, kept coming up, kept coming up. And as they brought that boat around somewhere near the coast, the rocks were near. They had to be very careful where they took that boat. And all of a sudden, they saw one of those big waves. They call them, out west, they call them a sneaker. The Coast Guard calls them unusual. The Kilcup brothers said this sneaker came, a great big wall of water ready to cover us up. And I don't know what they said. You know, sometimes you don't have time to say anything. It happens so quick. Chick told me, he says, Bob, that wall of water came and we knew this was the end. This was the end for us. And I think he said to his brother, he said, look at that. And just as he said, look at that, and that wall of water is coming, it opened up. And it was flat in the middle of that wave. And they passed through. And he lived to tell me the story. He said, we despaired of our life in a moment. This is it. What about you? If you came to a point like that, you didn't even have time to say it. In an instant, your life could be taken away. To as many as received Him, have you received Him? That's the point. You know, I don't have to say a lot of words about the gospel. Have you received Him? I remember the time when I was 14 years old. And the preacher said, as many as received Him. And he says, who would like to receive Him tonight? It was a night. Raise your hand. And I did. I raised my hand. I said, Lord, I want to receive You. I knew all about the Lord, but I'd never made the commitment to receive Him. Have you made the commitment to receive Him? But you know, then it really got to be a test. See, I got searched. Oh, Lord, Thou hast searched me. I'm not going to search You. I'm going to let the Lord search You. He says, if you really mean it, stand up and be counted. And somehow I stood up. I've been standing up ever since. I want to be counted. Have you stood up for Jesus? The little song says, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. The Lord wants you and me to be soldiers of the cross. You know, we didn't get very far in this chapter. But let's skip down. I want to get you how, what I want to leave with you. Psalm 139, verse 17. Here's the verse. Here's the verse. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. You mean when the time that I steered the car? Yeah, that was just part of it. You know, and the glory is going to show me a lot more than just the time that I steered the car away from a head-on collision. The closing speed, 140 miles an hour. My wife and five children, you know what would have happened. A split second later, we would have been in eternity. He spared us. But you know, He spared us from that great death. That death of judgment of God against sin because I was a sinner. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Here's the whole story in a nutshell. You know, it's wonderful, the nutshell stories that we get in the Bible. I hope you can take it home with you in the nutshell. Put them in both pockets. Put them in your purse, ladies. Put it in your heart. That's better. What does it say? How precious are thy thoughts unto somebody else? No, me. Me. That lovely two-letter word, me. Bring me into the circumstance of this verse. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. What should be the response of the knowledge of this? The Lord says, I'm looking for worshipers. I don't need servants. I don't need preachers. I'm looking for worshipers. And the Lord Jesus told the woman in the fourth chapter of John, the Father seeketh such to worship Him, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have a lot of people that talk about worship. They don't know what it is. They think it's preaching the gospel. It's not preaching the gospel. It's the appreciation of a soul to know that they have peace with God, and the peace was made through the precious blood of Christ and the cross of Calvary. And He says, how great is the sum of thy thoughts unto me, O God. If I should count them, they're more than number than the sand. You take a handful of sand and tell me how many numbers in there. More than the sand? How much sand? The sands of the seashores of the world. They'll never tell out how precious the thoughts of God's love is. That's the adjective that God uses here in this, with the psalmist. His thoughts to you and me. And then in Ephesians, we were just reading it, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And what is my response now? In closing, I want to read about it. Romans chapter 5. Look, I turned right to it. I want to read about it. Verse 11. Not only so, it says here, but God, verse 8, but God commends His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only so, verse 11. Oh, I hope this goes deep into your heart, into mine. But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We joy in God. Let's read one more verse. I read it already in the 1 John. I quoted it. I didn't read it. I want you to read it. 1 John chapter 1. This is the verse that Brother Heho used to tell us about. Bless the remembrance of a brother that tells you such wonderful things, but he makes them emphatic. verse 3. 1 John 1. And was manifested unto us that we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. Psalms 43. The clock's ticking. We're getting close. Psalms 43, I want you to remember these lovely verses. Psalms,
think it's 43. It better be.
Yes, here it is. Let's read the chapter. It's only a few verses. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. You know, and it might be the man that doesn't want to talk about grace. He might be next to me in the meeting. He might be occupied with something else than the grace of God. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. You know, you and I are embattled with an enemy, beloved. But the Apostle Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. That's the only good fight there is, you know. Any other fight, it's beneath our dignity. But there's one fight. We're in the fight of faith. O send thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill, to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. God my exceeding joy. There's no higher joy, beloved. The Apostle Paul could speak of it. We joy in God. For our Lord Jesus Christ, no higher joy. And what does it say, the result? Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. Upon the harp. You know, you and I have got harps. Harps tuned for endless days to sing His praises in the glory in the Father's house. That's what we're heading for. But it was all came from the cross, because when He hung there, He wanted you to know. And He tells you and me individually, this is how much I love you. This is how much I love you. In whom we trust, He will yet deliver us. He's going to bring us safely to the Father's house. Shall we just close in a word of prayer?
Let the words of my mouth,
let the words of my mouth,
and the thoughts of my heart,
and the thoughts of my heart,
be acceptable to Thee,
be acceptable to Thee.
In Thy sight alone,
in Thy sight alone.
For the Lord is my strength and my Redeemer. Yes, the Lord is my strength and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth bring honor to Thy name. Let the words of my mouth,
let the words of my mouth,
and the thoughts of my heart,
and the thoughts of my heart,
be acceptable to Thee,
be acceptable to Thee.
In Thy sight, O Lord,
in Thy sight, O
Lord. For the Lord is my strength and my Redeemer. Yes, the Lord is my strength and my Redeemer. Let the words of my mouth sing praises to Thy name.